part of your lifestyle already. Unless you don't buy your groceries, then tell whoever does, start buying plant-based. Mom, I want plant-based, please. My mom would never have done
that.
I have
a friend, and she is not plant-based, but her younger daughter wants to be, so she's trying to like figure it out for her daughter. Like,
oh, that's good.
Like cooking special things for her, which I think is cool.
That's really nice.
It's emotional.
Welcome to the Use the Emotionals podcast. I'm Kira, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
We're so grateful for having you all here with us and listening in. We love talking about ways we can help make the planet a better place, and that's why we are here. It's been a really great week. We actually went on a date to this really cool restaurant this week. It's called Cress. It's over in downtown Orlando. We are just celebrating some exciting things happening in life, but
I'm still drooling over the food there.
They had really delicious food, and one of the reasons why we chose this restaurant was because they have some really good vegan options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a fancier restaurant. So it was cool that they actually added like multiple different vegan options. I had a like vegan chicken parmesan. It used seitan like as like the chicken, and it came with pasta, and it was really delicious. I thought it was really cool that they added those onto the menu.
Yeah, I actually like when restaurants do give vegetarian and vegan options, and they don't just install an impossible patty into their food. Like, they actually take the time and the research to, you know, with the head chef, and just bam, knock it out of the park. And that's what this place did. And I think that is going to bring us into kind of what we want to talk about this episode is plant-based food in general.
Mm-hmm.
And how it helps the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of benefits to eating plant-based for your health, for the environment, for the animals. So we're just going to talk a little bit about like the impact that it can have and some ways to incorporate it into your life.
Yeah, and before we get to that, though, there is one thing I have to get out, and it's the joke of the day. I think this is a good one. So
I always forget about it.
All right. What was Aladdin called after he went vegan?
I don't know.
Saladin. Saladin.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day I'll get you. One day I'll get you.
Yeah, if you find a good one.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Saladin. All right. So I'm sure many of you know what like plant-based and vegan is, but some people actually are still confused about it. Plant-based basically means that the food only comes from plants. So no ingredients come from animals. No meat, dairy, eggs. It basically, plant-based only comes from plants, so it doesn't include fish, it doesn't include dairy. So some people still get that confused. So I just wanted to clarify, even things like honey and there's still some things out there, like sugars, there's sugar that is made.
If an animal was involved in the process in any way, such as how bees pollinate flowers and you know, bring this to their nest and generate honey. I mean, if any animal was involved in the process, it is no longer vegan, essentially.
Yep. Yeah. But we're going to Yeah, dive in a little bit about different ways that it, you know, it impacts the world in a good way.
Yeah. And I think I want to say before we get there, you know, you don't have to just, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I made the leap. You know, I made the leap to vegan. I made the leap to vegetarian. You don't need to make a leap. Like, I still, to this day, every month or so, will eat a fish. Or, you know, I generally try to eat vegetarian every single week. And, you know, nobody's perfect, but moderation is key. And I think if you put your effort, like, you know, your effort forward and just try to be more conscious about it, you don't have to make a leap. You can still enjoy meat that you like. But as long as you're being conscious about it and trying to make the effort, you know, every little difference, every little bit counts towards helping the planet.
Yeah, my journey to becoming plant-based started about 10 years ago, actually. I haven't eaten meat in over 10 years. Mine really came from my love for animals, and I've always really loved animals growing up, and I just got to a point where I thought it was, I don't know, it felt weird to eat something that I loved. So what I basically did, I saw it online somewhere. There was like a 1 month pledge, and you basically pledge 1 month of not eating meat. And that's how it started for me, because I was like, okay, 1 month, you're not really saying you're never going to eat it again. It was just 1 month. So I tried it and I never ate it again.
Oh, wow.
But for some, maybe they would. I just felt like, okay, you know, this was easy, and then I'll figure it out from there. So that's how it started with me.
Yeah.
And a few years later, I gave up like all animal foods. I gave up dairy and eggs. Now I occasionally will eat it if it's in something, but I try to avoid it as much as I can.
Yeah, it's really hard to be fully vegan, because then you have to tell your brain, you know, I don't want this, you know, something with cheese in it, something with milk in it. You have to actively think against it. Whereas I think vegetarian is a little bit easier because it's easier to avoid. There's a lot of vegetarian meals, but vegan is where you have to replace the cheese, the eggs, the milk, or, you know, which is almost in every meal, to be completely honest. If you want something creamy or anything,
well,
baked.
I think if you cook it yourself, it's very easy to make it vegan, because you just have the swap already. You're like, oh, I have dairy-free milk, I have dairy-free butter. But if you're out, that's when it's tricky.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants have caught on, and I'm sure, in, you know, we're pretty lucky in Florida, but most places in the world, especially in the Midwest of the U.S. and parts of the North on both coasts, just don't have it yet. But I think we should get into it. Kind of dive a little deeper into plant-based eating and the things it can do to the environment, the different precautions we should take, and why it's important to at least know this stuff. I'll go into a little bit about just the initial savings. So if anyone remembers a callback to, I don't remember the episode it was, but we did an episode where we talked about cotton and how cotton uses an insane amount of water, an absurd amount of water just to produce one t-shirt, and how there's, you know, not much can do because every shirt is cotton almost. And beef is the same way. So there's a lot of water that is used to produce and grow things, you know, milk, oats, beef, and each gram of protein per pound of beef. So let's say if you had 100 grams of protein, you'd be sitting at around 80 to 100 gallons of water used for that much protein. This could range, it could vary between 20 to 100. Generally, the average, I think they said, was around 80. But simultaneously, 1 gallon of milk could cost around 15 gallons of water per gram of protein. When you take those two examples, beef and milk, which are the most common meats and dairy that's used, let's take, for example, tofu and oats. Let's counter that. Let's mirror that. So tofu takes 6 gallons of water per gram of protein, and oats takes 3.8 gallons of water per protein, per gram of protein. So if you can see, we're already saving on water consumption for our planet by just eating tofu and oats.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one category. I'm sure you have some.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge one.
Unless you have more points about the water to touch on.
No, I mean, we use a ton of water for beef and other growing meats, or growing animals for meats. It uses a ton of water.
I guess you actually had a fact here that I think we should actually let people know. So animal products, meat and animal products, actually is responsible for 27% of the global water usage.
Yeah, that's a ton. That's a lot.
And I'm assuming cotton is probably more than that.
I don't know.
But combined the cotton industry and the meat industry, and you have almost, you probably don't have much room left in the percentage of global water usage left to play for other things.
Yeah, that's a very large amount.
Yeah, so cut back on that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is the amount of the land that it takes up for the animals to, live and grow. Almost one third of land is used for animal agriculture. One third of the land is used for pigs and cattle and chicken. That is a very large amount of our land.
Yeah.
That's why animal agriculture is such a major contributor to deforestation, because we're taking over that land for these animals for us to kill and eat.
Mm-hmm.
It also is contributing to other animals to become extinct because we're taking over their land. So instead of for example, orangutans are one of them. So we're taking over those forest areas to grow cattle. I don't think grow is the right word.
No.
To raise cattle.
Yeah. So basically to sustain our use of food, to sustain humankind as a whole, we're killing other animals to raise other animals to slaughter. Does that sound right?
Yeah. I mean, that's correct. It doesn't sound right.
But I don't think it is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And not to mention that we're killing animals for our own consumption when we don't have to eat it, especially in inhumane ways.
Yeah. This is not, I'm going to use this case because it's something that comes up where people seem to say, oh, but we've always eaten meat, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 years ago, we've always eaten meat. Why do we have to stop? Well, we don't have to stop, but think about it this way. So 10,000 years ago, eating meat was the difference between you being sustained for a week. So mm-hmm. when you killed an animal, there's another week of your life. Now, people seem to think that all the people 10,000 years ago ate was meat. But I want to say at least 80% of their diet was greens and grass and vegetables and fruits. So they didn't have a successful hunt every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to go outside and successfully kill a bison or whatever they hunted then every single hunt. They were going to fail a few days, and in those failures was when they eat greens, and this is why we're omnivores. This is why we're not carnivores. This is why we developed into omnivoring diets. So I just want to say that way of thinking is not right. What?
Nothing.
Okay. So yeah.
I mean, we don't have to do something just because it's the way that it's always done. If we evolve as a species, and if we can make things better, if we can hurt less things, make the planet better, then why wouldn't you? Why would you follow something just because it's been there?
Yeah. And another point on that is, to kind of go off of what you were saying, is we are smarter now. The majority of us are not starving.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are people who are starving out there, the people who, you know, we shouldn't still eat meat in the sense that, like, we're not starving, so we're smarter than that. We can be better than that. And we don't need to hunt for meat to survive anymore.
Yeah, times are very different.
Yeah.
And if you do eat meat, that's okay. But this is just informative information and maybe will help open someone's eyes.
But maybe eating meat's not okay. You want to know why?
Why?
So there's been some studies and reports done by newspapers and universities that found that unhealthy diets are actually one of the largest global burdens of disease, recently having surpassed tobacco as the leading cause of death in the world.
Well, yeah, heart disease is the leading cause of death, and a lot of that can come from unhealthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, it can be prevented. It can be prevented with what you eat. So
now, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not saying that a homemade steak or a homemade beef is going to kill you or ever get to that way. But I'm talking about unhealthy meat. There's a difference between clean organic meat and unhealthy meat. If you wish to eat meat, try to do it a clean way. Try to homemade cook it. No oils, no grease, no fats.
Well, it has tons of fats, and that's why it's...
Well, try to alleviate the other things. Because, you know, when you go to places like McDonald's or Wendy's or, you know, places like that, that is where the meats start to really add the negative.
I agree to disagree on that, but I think it's just in general. I mean, you could eat meat in a little bit healthier of a way if you get the right type, but overall it's still been shown to cause different heart disease issues, diabetes,
oh yeah,
high blood pressure, stroke, cancer.
And people always, I feel like, you know, 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and younger are like, oh, well, that'll never happen to me because I'm healthy now. Well, you know, you're eating this every day. Your body's taking effect. It's probably not going to happen to you until you're 40 or 50. Some people get unlucky early and some people it happens later, but it's like killing your body every day, I guess.
I mean, it's a slow process and there are many contributing factors. But it is one thing that you can do to, you know, prevent it and lessen the chances of having those diseases and issues. So it's definitely a benefit to eating more plant-based. Mm. I think that you'll feel better in a lot of different ways. So I definitely think that, like, for your health, it's such a major thing you can do, or, you know, just lessening meat consumption, or and even dairy and eggs, not just meat, like any animal foods,
mm-hmm,
have shown to cause a lot of different health issues.
And I think this there was the study that I was mentioning earlier. So they're not sure of these numbers yet, because I know you were mentioning, like, heart disease and diabetes and other chronic conditions. They're not sure of these numbers, but they are estimating that eating in a plant-based diet fashion can save around 11.6 million people a year. Now, these are research numbers, so it might not change that, but that's what they're estimating, 11.6 million lives saved every year.
One of my favorite books is by Dr. Greger, and he wrote the book How Not to Die, and it's all about plant-based eating, but he shares a lot of great information on how it can help your health, but all different types of foods and what they can do. So if you're interested in, like, more deeper information, I would check out his website, nutritionfacts.org, and also his book. A lot of good info that I've learned from him.
Dr. Greger.
He does Q&As, like, all the time, like live Q&As while he's walking on a treadmill.
That's an interest. I mean, hey, you know, keep busy on the treadmill, I guess.
Yeah, multitask.
Mm-hmm.
It's too funny, though. I haven't watched him in a while, but you can ask him questions.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, there's got to be more reasons, right?
Well, like, I know, like, the overfishing ocean thing. I don't know if you should talk about that.
Why don't we do, I know we're having a resource and greenhouse problem, right?
Resource?
Yeah, using resources, and I know we're also having greenhouse effects with beef industry.
Well, yeah,
right?
That's like the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know a person who eats plant-based produces 50% less carbon dioxide than meat eaters and uses 18 times less land than meat eaters? So that's a big difference. They can save over 1,100 gallons of water.
Ooh.
And 20 pounds of CO2 saved every day.
And that's just one person? So imagine, you know, if just 1,000 people switched, how much that'd be saving.
Yeah. So
every little bit counts. And that means that there's a process, a scientific term for environmentalism called rewilding. And rewilding basically means land that was once used for some purpose, like deforestation or meat production. You're basically letting the environments get back to the natural rhythm of things, recover from degradation, deforestation, and you're letting the ecosystem take control again. It's called rewilding. So, you know, as we make these switches to plant-based, we can actually start letting the environment, you know, go back to take over, let nature take over.
Let nature take us over.
Yeah. Well, not us, but, you know, in the spots that we don't need them anymore.
Yeah. So also, according to one of the climate change calculators, eating 75 grams of beef, a typical like fast food hamburger daily for a year contributes greenhouse gas emissions equivalent to driving a car over 7,000 miles.
So one burger a day for a year.
Mm-hmm. And compare that to eating 150 grams of beans, about a third of a can daily for a year, equivalent to driving a car 93 miles.
Oh, wow.
So it just like shows how much like greenhouse gases are caused by.
That is crazy.
The agriculture business.
7,000 miles. So let's put this.
93.
Let's put this into perspective so people can understand the gravity of 7,000 miles. That is going the distance from New York to Florida. That is around 1,000 miles. So that means you're going from New York to Florida, then back, then back, then back, then back. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's just per year. So imagine like the years adding up.
And imagine how many burgers are eaten a day across the world.
So a global shift to plant-based diet could actually reduce greenhouse gases caused by food production 70% by 2050.
And that would never happen, though. But that's why we're here, right?
I don't know if it would happen like by then. I think maybe eventually it would happen, yeah. But probably not by 2050.
It's still very new, but we got to give the atmosphere and nature and the soil and the earth and the sky, you know, we got to give them the opportunity to heal one bit at a time.
Also, reducing the livestock herds would also reduce emissions of methane, which is the second largest contributor of global warming, because we, you know, we wouldn't need as many of the animals. So
yeah.
There'd be way less methane too.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize, unless you're in the farming industry yourself, that how much the production, meat production industry shapes the greenhouse gases and global warming.
Yeah, a huge part of it.
And, you know, there is, I will say, there are farmers, and I know they teach this in agriculture school. There are farmers that are researching ways not to stop meat production, but to make meat production take less resource. You know, they're trying to come up with new ways, and I do think that's really nice. I think that they are also trying to make strides in the right direction as well. But again, they're not trying to stop.
Yeah.
It. They're trying to research, you know, how can we save things? So it is a step in the right direction, but it's not the one we want.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that does help. Like, most companies are, like, unregulated.
Yeah.
So
there's a few that are out there that are good.
Hopefully, over time, they do look into that a little more. And I don't know what they could do exactly to reduce their impact on...
So it's mostly, like, the equipment. The equipment itself is... We're trying to have better ways to go about the farming and the agriculture and the meat production. I mean, if you've seen the facilities, if you've seen any videos on how those facilities are run, I mean, it's a catastrophe. If anyone's curious, I urge you to go. That those videos themselves might just curb you from ever wanting to eat meat again.
Yeah.
They're horrible, but those videos do show you the craziness that is the meat production facilities and meat packing facilities. It's pretty gross, pretty grotesque. I know I actually, this is a side tangent, but I went to a Warp Tour once, and I don't really like PETA that much.
Oh yeah, they show you the videos.
I don't respect PETA in any way. And I will say, though, I watched, they did have those videos at the Warp Tour, and this was 10, 12 years ago, and that's when it kind of first awakened my eyes, like, oh, I didn't know about this. So awareness is key, and being in the dark is something that, you know, if you're open to trying plant-based products, I think you might like it.
I think so, too.
I think a lot of it is just, you know, I know from a gym perspective, plant-based always worried me that I would never get the same bare essential, like, ingredient, or not ingredients, but essential nutrients and acids and proteins that I could get from a meat diet. And, you know, with your knowledge, I was able to find how to eat a plant-based diet and still sustain muscle mass in gym and that sort of thing. So I think it just comes to a knowledge point of view, and people don't really want to put in the work to have that knowledge to, you know, go about it. It's a lot of work to maintain it.
Yeah,
and it costs a lot too. It costs a lot more.
I don't think it costs a lot more. I think that's a myth.
Hmm.
I think if you buy a lot of, like, the specialty products, that could cost more, but vegetables itself, I don't think cost more than meat.
Yeah, so you're looking at, like a steak, let's say, for example, steak, depending on the steak you want, could be $7.99 to, you know, $18.99. Salmon, you know, is generally on average around $11.99, I think. Let's take a block of tofu, for example. What is that in the store? $1 to $3 on average?
Mm-hmm.
So beans are pretty cheap. Rice is pretty cheap. I mean, just think about it. You know, I used to think eating vegan and eating plant-based was really expensive, but I think it's more so if you just go out, and if you actually cook a home-based diet, it's better.
I think it's cheaper, for sure. I did want to just bring up one thing, though, that I think is good to acknowledge as well, and that is that there are still vegan and vegetables and fruits that also do have a high carbon footprint. So it's good to just, like, acknowledge it, especially foods that we get from really far, like, places that have to travel really far, or if the foods are out of season and we're getting them, it could still cause, like, harm to the planet. So it's good to also think about that and look for...
Yeah, I know what you're
I'm
saying,
trying
though.
To, like, there are some, like, plant-based foods that are also causing harm.
Mm-hmm. To do your research, sort of thing.
So, for example, like, avocados, they use a lot of water in harvesting avocados. It's not just, like, always meat and that industry. So it is good to do your research and kind of look at all sides of it. I think overall, like, increasing vegetable consumption plant-based and reducing meat consumption is overall the better, you know? It's kind of like, it's like the lesser of two evils, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no perfect way to, like, get food and eat, unless maybe you grow your own, all your own vegetables.
You have your whole garden.
Right outside your garden. Then
self-sustaining.
Maybe it'll be perfect. So it's hard to be perfect, and you can't be perfect and also live your life. Like, it's hard to have your own perfect garden when you also work and you might have families. Like, it's not realistic. So, like, you know, do the best that you can.
Everything in moderation. That's what I always say. Like, it's okay if you want to have ice cream one day, you know? It's okay if you want to have meat one day. It's okay if you want to have a vegetarian meal one day. Just make sure to keep everything in moderation. Switch it up, change it up, and live your life. And just try to be conscious about your decisions.
Be conscious, do research, and look things up, and see where your food is coming from. And, you know, choose, you know, a plant-based meal instead of a, you know, a meat meal.
Like, see how you like it.
See how you like it. Start with, like, a meatless Monday. That's something that is really popular and that you can do, and even that can make a difference.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, do you have any other, like, ways for someone who doesn't know anything to start their adventure? And, you know, and I know you mentioned Meatless Monday, and there was the other one that was, like,
the month pledge.
Yeah,
I can't remember, like, what company, like, has that, but you can, like, go in and, like, put your name in and everything. But that's one way you can start. If you just want to, like, go all in, then try that out. It's just for a month. And, you know, it's been a while since I made the transition, so I'm trying to think back on, like, what I first did. I definitely, I had a friend who is vegan. So if you know people that are, then ask them what they do. Like, ask them for recipes. I make a lot of the same, like, type of meals that anyone makes. I just use an alternative. So.
Yeah, lots of stir fries, lots of Asian dishes, Mexican dishes. And
yeah, so instead of, like, you know, chicken stir fry, we just add tofu. And instead of, like, you know, beef tacos, we make, like, bean tacos.
Yeah,
and
or you can even have plant-based beef that you can put in place, get some good cumin going there. You have yourself a nice recipe for tacos.
There's so many alternatives. There are, like,
hundreds,
millions of recipes online that you can find. And, you know, I know people are always, like, really scared and skeptical, but, like, just find a recipe and make it. I always try, like, the basic recipes because there's a lot of crazy ones out there. But
I guess what you can recommend is write down five of your favorite meals that have a meat in them. And then from those five of your favorite meals, find a plant-based alternative recipe for them. And then try to cook each one of your five favorite meals as a plant-based meal and see how you like it.
I think if it's your favorite meals, it might be a little harder. Because you'd have to compare, like, your absolute, like, favorite meals. But
well, it's something, you know, like, I love really stir fry. I love a good stir fry. And
yeah.
That is honestly one of my favorite meals. Like, I used to eat steak stir fry, but now I eat tofu stir fry or bean stir fry, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And
so.
it takes, you know, trial and error a little bit, like finding ways to cook it. But you just start and then you get better. And like I said, I'm sure there's someone you know that eats plant-based. So. Ask your friend to help you make something, or how do you cook a certain thing?
You guys can have a plant-based vegan party.
Me and my friend used to do that.
Party. Really?
Well, yeah, we would make a lot of, like, vegan foods. We would make, like, arepas. We did all sorts of things,
arepas.
Like tacos. And I used to make, like, my, like, homemade black bean burgers every week. You'd have to smash them with your hands. Like, the black beans, I'd smash them in my hands. It was gross.
People do the same with grapes. They step on them, so.
I know, but it's weird to smash, like, beans in your hands. And I would freeze them, and then I would have, like, them to take out and make whenever I wanted.
It's
I haven't
awesome.
Done that in a while, but I used to do that
awesome.
All the time.
All right, so do we have anything else to add? I feel like we've covered a lot of good ground and a lot of good reasons plant-based diets are helping the environment. There's proof in the pudding that it's helping. And again, if you love meat, you don't have to stop, but try to moderate it.
Yeah, even like proportionally, you can just add less on your plate, like, and add more of something else. That's already making a difference. Then you buy less, consume less.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, this is just, you know, another way to help the environment, to help the world. You know, if you already do all your effort, and, you know, you're a ocean conservationist, or you run a cleanup crew, or like you do work for animals at a conservation in the Midwest or in some other country, you know, you do great work, then you like meat, you know, by all means continue. You're still doing great stuff for the environment. You're still helping animals. You're still helping the world. But this is just another way to add on top of that lifestyle.
And it is a huge way. Like, it makes such a big difference. Like, it's a huge impact you can make. Good to consider and work towards, I think.
Consider.
If there's anything that you could do to help the planet, I do think it's this.
It's one of the easier ways. It doesn't really make you, like, go out of your way. You don't have to travel. You don't have to make a commitment. Well, it is a slight commitment. I guess for us it's easier because we don't really feel like it's hard. But I guess for someone starting out, it might be a little harder. But, I mean, you don't have to drive anywhere other than your normal routine of going to the grocery store and getting ingredients, really.
Yeah.
It's part of your lifestyle already. Unless you don't buy your groceries, then tell whoever does, start buying plant-based. Mom, I want plant-based, please. My mom would never have done that.
I have a friend, and she is not plant-based, but her younger daughter wants to be. So she's trying to, like, figure it out for her daughter. Like,
oh, that's good.
Like, cooking special things for her, which I think is cool.
That's really nice. Like, most parents, I think even mine, like, you know, I love my mom, but...
Well, she thought that...
What?
I remember, like, we were going to a restaurant, and you told your mom that, like, I'm vegan. Your mom was like, oh, they have chicken, though. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Mom, like, no, you don't even know. Chicken. That's why
no, I think it was turkey. Because she's like,
yeah.
Because it's like, you know, burgers are made out of beef. So she was thinking a turkey burger is vegan.
That's why I wanted to share, like, what vegan was. Because I had one person, too, they thought vegan was the gluten-free. Like, some people are still not.
That's
aware.
A whole different ballgame.
It's different. But yeah, some people still are unaware of it, which is okay.
I think a lot of parents, it's good if you're a parent who's very accepting of what your kid wants, but I feel like a lot, you know, like I make the money, so I say what you want, like what you eat. But it's always good to keep an open mind.
What if our kids just like want a lot of beef?
If they want it, you know, they can have it.
Like, I'm not cooking it for you.
You hate the smell of beef, though.
Yeah, it smells.
I actually don't mind it, but I think
it smells like death. Like, that's what it smells like.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, it's dead meat that you're burning.
I know, but like,
maybe that's something we can like stave people off of meat. What is meat exactly? Well, it's chopped up dead stuff, dead matter that you burn at a high temperature of 400 degrees or higher.
Well, some people would love that.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to share?
No, I think I'm going to leave you with the closing statements. If you have anything inspirational today to say, I believe in you. Yeah, I know you got this. I know you can do it. I know it's in there. A speech waiting to happen, ready to go about plant-based diet.
Really
it helps
hard.
The environment. It's just is so great. You got this. Any moment now.
I think as far as like motivation to be motivated to do this, it's just like, you know, based off of love, which is like really silly to say, but like love for the planet and love for animals. Like, that's always my motivation. And once that's there, it's easy. So that's what I think about.
Again, as always, a perfect.
That was terrible.
A perfect sign off. And I think that leaves us with our episode. We hope you guys took away some information here. We hope that you learned something. Whether you want to follow through with trying a plant-based diet. You know, maybe if you have a partner or friends, you can try it with them and just see how it works out.
You can do it.
Got this. We at C-Motionals believe in you. Do it for Qbert and Mako and Kekoa and Yang and Cozy and Fritz. Do it for the C-Motionals. And that leaves us with the sign-off. Please stay tuned into our social medias, and we will be continuing to release the podcast every week for your entertainment. I hope I have some spelling errors and pronunciation grammatical errors in the coming episodes. I don't think I had that many this episode, so no. I'm sorry about that, everyone. I know you probably got a laugh at the end of the episode. And I think that's it.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, peoples. Bye bye. This is C-Motionals diving out.